Interesting. But I do kind of like to keep tabs of who's the president, at least. That sort of thing. You know, I like to watch it about that much. And, you know, we have a brand new president. We have a brand new House of Representatives controlled, not brand new, they're still controlled by the Democrats. We have a flipped Senate. And it just seems like the wrong party is in control of everything. But not only that, of course, and let me just say, there isn't really a right party, okay? Because the Republicans are pretty much just as bad, only they might want to go a little slower than the Democrats want to go. But anyway, and also with this COVID thing, of course, President Trump okayed the idea that there is a COVID thing, and he let it get going in the U.S. And sure, there is a disease. We still don't know how bad it is. I think they've blown it way out of proportion. But America is changing rapidly. And in fact, the world is changing rapidly. And because of COVID, because of the Democrats having all three houses, the White House too, if you will, they can pretty much do what they want to do. And conservatives are pretty scared right now. And they can see, all of a sudden, we're scared that, man, we're really in the last days. Well, we were in the last days a few weeks ago when the Senate was not controlled by the Democrats, okay? We've just moved a little further into the last days, and the Senate could flip, the House could flip, Republicans might get in control of all three houses. Who knows what the Lord would do? But we do know one thing for sure. We are in the last days. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, and I want all of us to understand from the Word of God that we are in the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a promise. God knew what was going to come to pass in these last days. And then he goes on and tells us about these last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to tell Timothy, But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then he says a very powerful and but yet sad statement. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The title of the message tonight is what many people are asking, what do we do? What do we do in the last days? And that is what we want to look at tonight. What do we do in the last days? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction we find in your word. Father, help us to have open ears, open hearts, and Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. Father, I pray that you would give us comfort and encouragement from your word tonight. Please bless each one, even those that are not here. Pray especially for those that are sick and in the hospital right now. pray that you would touch them and heal them, Lord. Pray for Pastor that you would give him strength. Bless now this message, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What do we do in the last days? After all, our freedoms are being taken away. Should we take up arms against the government and have a new revolution? What do we do? Well, first of all, we need to realize that this is not a new idea, that freedom is going to be taken away, evil is going to get worse. The Bible has promised us here in this chapter, it will get worse and worse. It just gets worse from here. I'm sorry. That's the bad news. Until Jesus comes back, it will get worse and worse in the world. Isaiah, we're not going to turn to every passage of Scripture for sake of time, but Isaiah 59, verses 14 and 15, are kind of like a prophecy of the last days. There was a short-term prophecy that God had fulfilled there in Israel, but there is a long-term prophecy here. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it back then in Israel, and we'll see it again, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. That's Isaiah 59, 14 and 15. Notice what it says, he that departeth from evil, in other words, he that will stick to the truth and obey God, he maketh himself a prey. It's foretold in Scripture. They're going to come after Christians. They're going to come after anyone who stands for the truth. There will be lawsuits. There will be people losing their businesses. There will be preachers going to jail. Okay? And I don't want to, you know, be a doomsdayer here, but I fully expect to at least be arrested once in my lifetime for preaching the gospel. I fully expect that. Okay? When I get arrested, it's not going to be a big shock to me. I hope it's not a shock to all of you. I hope you don't lose your faith because Assistant Pastor Derek Seeley got arrested. Okay? It's going to get bad. Becky, stop that. It's going to get bad. Truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, maketh himself a target, in other words. Okay? It's going to get worse and worse. That's what we have to look forward to in the short term. Before Christ returns, Jesus said that we will experience a time similar to Noah's time. Go with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Starting in verse 36. But of that day and hour, Jesus is speaking, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay? It's going to be exactly, very, very similar to those days of Noah. And the Bible gives us a little more explanation of what those days were like back in the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. The way life was back then is that, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Okay? So, as in those days of Noah, where they're going about their daily lives, they were marrying and giving in marriage, they were eating and drinking, and they were also wicked to the core, so also will it be in the days before Jesus comes back. Men will be wicked. They will cast truth into the street, as Isaiah tells us. Okay? That's the bad news. I'm sorry, but we need to understand that. We need to understand it so that we don't get disheartened when it comes, we should expect it. Okay? Now, also, with the wickedness getting worse and worse, Christians will be persecuted. All right? But that's not a new thing either. As we saw in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's something that has happened to Christians throughout the ages. In every generation, Christians have been persecuted. It's only been in America in the last 225 years or so that Christians had a respite. They had a place of sanctuary in America. This is the only country in the world as strong on religious freedom as we have been. And, of course, England and Australia and Canada, they tried to emulate America, and that's great, and they came close. But no country in the world has been as strong and as free as America. But it's only been for 225 years or so. There's been 6,000 years where God's people have been persecuted. Okay? And during those 225 years of America, God's people have been persecuted everywhere else. Everywhere else. And they were persecuted in America before the Declaration of Independence was signed. And of course, God's people who were black were persecuted in America during that time. Okay? And of course, God's people who were red men were persecuted during that time. All right? So, it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Christians will be persecuted in every generation. John 15:20, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Okay, we're not something more special than Christ. Of course we're not. If Jesus was arrested, I can expect to be arrested. If Jesus was persecuted, I can expect to be persecuted. If, as long as I live a godly life, if I just fold and compromise and live like the world, I could probably get by without anybody noticing me. But we're commanded to live godly lives, separate from the world. 1 Peter 2:12. The Bible teaches that we are to have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, with which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So, even as we live honestly among people, among the lost, they will speak against you and I as if we're doing wrong. It's something you and I can expect, especially in the last days. There will be people who say right is wrong. The right that you and I do will be called wrong. The right that you and I do will be taken to court in lawsuits. It's what we are going to have to face probably in the last days. Christians in general. Maybe it won't come to us, but be prepared for it to do so. Be prepared for it to do so, please. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, "For even hereunto were ye called." We were called to follow in Christ's footsteps because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And if Christ suffered by the hands of men, you and I can expect to have to suffer at their hand as well. Jesus was sinless and he suffered. You and I, they will find reason that we are wrong, okay? We are not sinless. If they dig deep enough in our life, they'll find something that we did wrong at some time. They will exploit it. Perhaps it's not the big reason. Perhaps it won't be the big reason we're put on trial, but they'll still dig into our past. And once a preacher has been arrested for preaching the gospel, they'll dig into every sermon he ever preached. They'll dig into every thing he did before he got saved. And if perhaps he was arrested before he got saved. Well, that's going to be blasted all over the news. This guy was a preacher and he got arrested for this crime, this perhaps a felony even, way back 40 years ago. How dare he assume to be a preacher of the Lord Jesus? Well, he's a new creature in Christ. He's a new creature in Christ. But the world does not understand those things. Okay? So be prepared for that kind of slander to be put against God's people, God's men. Christians will be persecuted. They have been in every generation. They will continue to be so in every generation until Jesus returns. So, but what do we do? Well, first of all, we need to accept the truth that Jesus Christ is in control. Right now, in our lives, Jesus Christ is in control. He's in control of everything. He's in control of what goes on in the whole world. He's in control of what goes on in my life personally, in your life personally. Daniel 4:35. Here's real quick, I'm going to give you some rapid-fire promises that show that God is in control. Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Talking about God. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135:6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Isaiah 46:10. God is doing this, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 14:24 through 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Skip down to verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah 33:9-11. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Psalm 2:1-7. We know the psalm. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And the Bible refers that he will say, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said. I will declare the decree the Lord says. Okay? We need to accept the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is in control. It looks bad. It looks sad. It looks like America's freedom is being taken over. It looks like the whole world is being duped. It looks like we're in the last days because we are. We are. But Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus Christ wants there to be an Antichrist. You say, what? He promised there would be. That means he will make sure it happens. Because it's a promise in his word. He won't break his promise. He won't break his word. If he said there will be an Antichrist, there will be a one-world government system, then it stands to reason Jesus is going to allow it to happen. It stands to reason that Jesus is going to allow things to fall in line before he comes back now. Say, 100, 200, 300 years before Christ returns over here, Jesus is going to allow the world governments to start falling in line, making rules that and laws and ordinances that point to the fact that we're all going to get together someday. We're all going to have a ruler. We're going to get rid of our national boundaries. There's going to be no more nations. We're all going to be one world government. Jesus promised that it would happen. Therefore, it will. Why are we surprised, and we should not be, when we see the things falling in line to come to pass, that there will indeed be an Antichrist that rules for 7 years? Jesus is in control, though. Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen because Jesus is allowing it to happen. Jesus wants there to be a time where the whole earth rejects Him as God, accepts someone else as God. He wants there to be a time when His people, His children, are not on the earth at the same time, so that He can hold back His hand of judgment. He can pour out His wrath upon the whole earth for rejecting Him as God. Without there being His beloved bride, they're taking the punishment too. Okay, His bride is going to be in heaven. The whole earth, at the point the rapture hits, the whole earth is unsaved. And at that point, God can begin to pour out His wrath in a way that He has never poured out His wrath before. And He can do so without a qualm, because He's not hurting His bride. But He hates what has happened in this evil world, and He will judge it. And He can do so at that point without harming His beloved. Okay? So it will happen. Jesus is in control of it, though. Jesus wants it to happen so that He can pour out His wrath. Jesus wants it to happen because He promised it would happen, so He will make His word come true. Again, what do we do? Well, like I said, first thing we need to do, accept the truth that Jesus is in control of this. Jesus is seeing that it comes to pass. He controls the big picture, and He controls what's happening to us right here in our church. But what do we do? Well, one little phrase kind of sums it up, but there's a lot in that little phrase. Jesus said in Luke 19:13, "Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come." We are to continue occupying till Jesus comes back. What does that word "occupy" mean? It means to continue. Not just to fill a space, but to live. To do everything that Jesus wants us to do, that He said in His Word, to fulfill it while He's gone. Occupy till I come. 2 Timothy 3:14, we've already read it. It's one of our text verse. Let's go back to it. 2 Timothy 3:14. I want you to see it again. Second Timothy 3:14. We'll start in verse 13 to, again, get the idea. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue in the things which thou hast learned. Well, what have we learned? We've learned sound doctrine. You have been taught sound doctrine. You've been taught plainly the Word of God in this church. We are to keep or continue down the things which thou hast learned. Continue believing sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me," Paul, "in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 1:14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Okay, that good thing that was committed to you is the Word of God. Keep sound doctrine. Keep believing the Word of God. Keep believing what you've been taught. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slide. Don't compromise it. Keep it safe. Keep it hidden in your heart. Don't let it go. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So if you want your family to be saved, and if you want others to be saved in these latter days, keep believing sound doctrine. Don't let it go. It, by the way, doctrine simply means teaching, the teachings of Jesus, the teaching that we find in the Word of God. Don't let it slide. Don't compromise it for anything. Keep believing it. Keep believing the Bible. Secondly, occupy till I come encompasses the idea of that we are to keep teaching. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Nowhere in Scripture are we taught, well, when the end times come, you can stop teaching. It's pretty much over with. You know, Jesus will come back pretty soon. Let's just all be quiet and get along and quit teaching. No, we're not told that. We are told to keep teaching. Don't compromise the truth. Don't silence the truth. Keep teaching the truth. So we are going to keep teaching God's Word here in this church. We're going to keep believing sound doctrine here in this church. And when persecution comes, as I believe it eventually will, it might be 10, 20, 30 years from now, but I believe persecution eventually will come in some form or another. When persecution comes to our church, we need to endure that persecution with rejoicing. Acts 5:41, the disciples gave us a great example to follow. And they departed from the presence of the council, the Sanhedrin in other words, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. This is after Peter and John were beaten before the Sanhedrin. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And that's the attitude we need to have if we have to go through persecution. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The only way that the ignorant men are going to be silenced is if they see Christians rejoicing in persecution. Christians rejoicing in persecution. And that's what 1 Peter 2:15, that chapter is about. It's talking about suffering in the right way. Suffering in the right way. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Well, Brother Derek, I can do that. I can endure persecution. I can go to jail. What about my kids? What about my kids? Turn with me to Jeremiah 49. Excuse me. I'll learn where that thing is. Jeremiah 49, verse 11. I'm willing to go to jail for my Lord, but if I go to jail, what about my wife? What about my kids? What if my wife and I go to jail? My spouse and I, what if we both go to jail? What about our kids? Jeremiah 49, 11. Leave, the Bible says, leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. We're going to have to rely on the Lord's promises. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's hard to do. But God says there comes a time when I want my people to leave their fatherless children. And He makes the promise, I, God Himself, will preserve them alive and let thy widows trust in me. So, what do we do in the last days? Continue occupying till He comes. Believe that Jesus Christ is in control. Keep believing sound doctrine. Keep teaching others. endure any persecution that comes with rejoicing, and above all, keep sharing the gospel. Keep sharing the gospel. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What does that have to do with preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel, Brother Derek? Well, the heartbeat of Christ is to get the gospel out. And if that's the thing that we have heard, to get the gospel out is what Jesus wants from us, then we ought to give the more earnest heed to that in the last days. 2 Timothy 4:2. Oh, this is for preachers, Brother Derek. No, this is for all Christians. Preach the word. Preach the word. You don't have to stand up here to preach the word. You can do it one-on-one with your friend, one-on-one with your coworker, one-on-one with your buddy, one-on-one with a stranger on the street. But preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You say, Brother Derek, that rebuke. We're not supposed to rebuke the lost. Yes, we are. When they are sinning before our faces, God says to speak up and rebuke them. When they use foul language before us, Jesus says, the Bible says to speak up and rebuke them. That's part of being salt in the world. That's when the salt gets in the wound of this world and stings this world and they don't like it. We are to rebuke the lost when they are rubbing sin in the face of innocent people. We are to rebuke them. But preach the word. Share the gospel. This is above all things in the last days. Men need the gospel before Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? We need to put more people in heaven. It's our job to fill heaven. Mark 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, we might have to adjust our methods of soul winning. They sure have in China. Most preachers don't get on the housetop and start preaching with a loudspeaker because they know that they'll speak for about 5 minutes and then get put in jail. And if they do it different, they might be able to preach the word for 10 years before they get put in jail. So we have to be wise in these last days. We might have to quit doing something that will automatically get us arrested, right? We might have to be a little bit sneaky about sharing the gospel. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But share the gospel, though. Don't stop sharing the gospel. The only way people will get saved is by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do I do in the last days? Don't let go of sound doctrine. Keep teaching others. Endure persecution with rejoicing. Keep sharing the gospel. And don't ever, ever disbelieve that Jesus Christ is in control of everything that's going on in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for these promises that you will use Christians with good testimonies who endure persecution. Thank you that your word does not return void. Thank you, Lord, that we can continue to believe your teachings, your doctrine, your word, because it is truth. And thank you above all that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you that you are in control of our lives. And Lord, we are rejoicing that you're in control of this world. Nothing that happens, no kingdom is set up without your okay, and no ruler is overthrown without you allowing it. And we rejoice that we can have that assurance. And Father, help us to use our freedom that we have as long as we have it. And Father, I pray that we would not be afraid to disobey men in order to obey you when the time comes. I pray that you bless now the prayer time. And Pray that you bless those again who are not here tonight because of sickness or other reasons. In Jesus' name, amen.